One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Good morning, beautiful. How was your night? Do you guys know that song? It's a country song, I think. Or it's like a church song. I don't remember, but it was in my head this morning. And it is the morning time, and I'm doing this intro. And I'm going to warn you, if you didn't already know this about me, I am a morning person. I'm incredibly obnoxious and energetic in the morning. And I recognize that I might lose half my listeners by admitting that because I think it irritates people when you're a morning person. But hell yeah, I'm having a good time. 6 a.m. Maybe 7 a.m. I think I lied. Let's see. All right, 7:01 a.m. But I woke up at 5:55 because you know what? I'm high on life. This is me without no caffeine, no Adderall. I don't really even take that anymore because it's not good for you guys. Admittedly, I did take a B12 vitamin, but I don't think it's hit yet. This is just me cruising. How are you guys? All right. So, how are you though, really? I have a really cool guest today, but I'm going to get to him in a second. Really love this guest. He's a comedian and he produced his own movie recently, and he's a good friend, and he's also fairly attractive if you're single. Actually, I think he has a girlfriend now, but whatever. But hit him up. You know what I mean? Bill, you're more than fairly attractive. I'm being mean now. Okay. Anyways, but besides the fact that we're going to get into my guest soon, what else do I want to talk about? Okay, I have shows coming up. Guys, I have a lot of shows coming up, and I'm booking them myself because you know what? Hashtag I can do it on my own. You know, let's just say, for example, CAA or WME, they're not exactly like beating down my door to be my booking agent. But you know what you can do? Be your own booking agent. So here's what's happening. I will be in, I'm probably going to get these wrong, Greenville and South Carolina. Greenville and Charleston. Charleston is on Monday, April 23rd. Greenville, Thursday, April 26th. Get tickets at rachelbryancomedy.com. Where else am I? In May, I'm on the East Coast. I'm doing Friars Club on May 15th, but I don't think people can get tickets to that. And then I'm doing May 18th, the Colo Club in New Jersey. New Jersey people, May 18th, get tickets because I'm going to feel bad about myself if you don't come. And Dana Moon's coming with me. She's hilarious. She's a comedian. She has a podcast. Also very attractive, but she does a lot of weird shit on Instagram that makes me laugh. that's May 18th. And then May 23rd, Boston, Massachusetts, Beantown. Let's get shit-faced. Joking. Don't do that really anymore either. I still drink, but it's not really that cool to drink a lot, you know? I'm not 21 anymore. May 24th, New York City, Ars Nova is the club. And I think that's it for now, but get your tickets at rachelbryancomedy.com. I can't wait to hang with you, meet you. You know, I also apologize that my voice sounds like this right now. Guess what I accidentally did this morning? So I've been into essential oils because they're good for you. And peppermint oil clears your like nasal passages. So you're supposed to like sniff a little bit of it. Well, don't like huff it. I accidentally did. I somehow managed to sniff the oil out of the bottle into my nasal passages, to which I've been sneezing and my eyes are burning and it's a whole thing all morning. You know, I don't know if you don't have to follow me on Instagram, but if you do, I do a lot of dumb stuff and I film it. It's not a bit. It's not on a, I actually do really dumb stuff often. I don't know why, because I'm not a dumb person. I'm actually pretty smart. I am very clumsy, But yesterday I managed to, I was on one of my geriatric walks. I walk everywhere as well. It's a new thing. And I walked to, I did Janet Varney. It's hilarious. I did her podcast yesterday. And so I decided to walk the 7 miles to where she lived, like a psycho. And then when I was walking back, so she lives on a hill. Like, and if you've ever been to LA, there's like kind of, she's not in the Hollywood Hills, but like the, it's like above Franklin Village. It's like East Hollywood, I guess. And they're like really windy and curvy, and the hills, and you know, the roads are not super safe to walk on. But, you know, I was being very alert about cars and safety and humans and everything. Well, I hit a patch of loose gravel. Boy, did I go down hard and broke my fall with the hand. I broke my hand a year ago. Guys, if you don't listen fully to my podcast, I understand. But I broke my hand a year ago. It didn't quite heal. I have like a weird gimp hand now. I slipped. I fell. I broke the fall with my hand, the bad hand. I did not re-break it, thank God. But I did like scrape my hand up. I'm like, how is this my luck? What am I? Am I that clumsy? Like, what am I doing wrong? Was I not holding in my core enough? I don't know. Anyways, is that all I wanted to say? Before my, this is the intro. Oh, other thing I wanted to talk about. No, I think I gotta, you know what? I'm gonna tease you on this one. Friendships as an adult. I think we're gonna do like a whole podcast on it because it's hard to make new friends. As it turns out, you lose friends as an adult, even though I feel like I didn't do much wrong. I don't know. This is a whole different podcast, but man, people can be mean. Okay. See, I do that. Christian says I do that. I like drop like a hint and then I take it back. And but I'm sorry. I don't have the. I'm not eloquent enough to speak on it. Anywho, guys, this is going to be a good podcast because Bill Dawes is very funny. You have seen him on Sex and the City. You've seen him on, God, I can't think of all of his movie credits, Broadway, but or entertainment credits. He's been on Broadway. He's been, he just produced his own movie. He's a very nice guy. I've toured with him. I really like him a lot. So without further ado, Bill Dawes.
Hi, good to be here.
Thank you for doing my podcast
for
the second time.
Are we allowed to say that? First time the files got corrupted or something?
That's literally the only time that's ever happened. I still don't know what happened.
Huh.
It's happened one other time. Oh, shit, those girls don't know either. I didn't have the balls to tell them. The first time it happened, the card got full and then it just sort of like deleted the podcast. In your case, I don't know what happened because it worked, and then Lo was with me, my producer. We uploaded it to my computer, and then we were just never able to find it again.
That's just my luck.
I don't know. Is it like a Mercury in retrograde thing?
Yeah, that's my life. Mercury in retrograde. That should be my bio.
You should call that your next stand-up special should be called that. Because you kind of have shitty luck sometimes.
I've had some pretty bad luck the past few years. Yeah.
He's not allowed to talk about it, but something really bad happened.
Well, I got evicted from my apartment.
But not because he did anything bad.
Yes. I did Airbnb, which is not... By the way, you should have Airbnb sponsor this.
Yeah. Hey, Airbnb, I've been working for you for years.
I did it legally. I was living in the apartment. I rented a room while I lived there, which was legal. But in a co-op in New York, they can say, nah, and then just kick you out.
That's unbelievable.
So I thought, well, there's got to be due process. There's got to be, because I didn't ever broke the law. So I thought, like, okay, I'll take it to court and I'll fight the good fight. And then you realize, like, in Manhattan and New York, like, there's no good fight. It's just like, do you have money?
Yeah. Will you
pay?
You rich?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you get let off.
Yeah. There's a reason Bill Cosby is not in jail right now.
Yes,
and O.J. Simpson is not in jail. You have
that
money.
That is a very good.
You win the game. Mm-hmm. So I learned that the legal system, literally is not designed for justice. It is literally designed to settle.
Mm-hmm.
To settle arguments.
Okay.
So you think that, no, you go there, you go to trial, you fight, you're going to win. But it's just about settling. Mm-hmm. They don't want to go to trial. And at first I was like, that's not true. But no judge wants to go to trial. They all go, let's just figure out how to settle.
Because everyone doesn't want to have, no, because I've always thought about this with, even with like surgeons and doctors. At the end of the day, a job is a job. For them, they get tired. They don't want to go to court. That's more work for them. They're probably getting older. They don't want to, like, same thing sometimes when, like, surgeries get messed up and things like that. It's like, well, hell, you don't blame them. They're probably having to work way too many hours and you can't always be on.
Yes.
And so at the end of the day, everything is a job.
Everything is a job. And I remember the first time after one, and I was really emotionally distraught by this whole thing. And I don't know when we did Reno, if that was like beginning of it happening.
That was,
it might have been.
We didn't talk about it then.
But I remember one time I went to court and I was like really.
It was November 2016. We were in Reno.
Yes. This was already happening. Okay. So I was like, I wore a suit like a dick and I'm like, I'm going to defend myself. And of course, you don't talk. You just sit there while your lawyer, my lawyer's like, bleh, 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 you know, it's bumbled everything. And then am I allowed to say that? Anyway, yes. So I get to the. You know, I leave and the opposing counsel is like laughing. He's like, with my lawyer. And I go, don't laugh, man. This is my home. I'm getting kicked in my home of 18 fucking years. This is bullshit. Why are you laughing? He's like, I'm just doing my job.
He's like, relax, sir.
Yeah, and
I thought you were supposed to be a comedian.
Yeah, I remember. And then the more I was in the court system, the more I realized like there is no, it's not about right and wrong. It's are you getting paid? You can really use people's sense of justice to get paid. But lawyers aren't thinking about, oh, this because I can't even. Let's say I had a lawyer, and let's say this lawyer that
no,
I
no, you're I don't no 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 not going right. down the rabbit
it's
hole.
It's not about that. It's about and so
I
and
just then, don't want him to get in trouble.
So you
He's
remember
not
when,
supposed to talk
when
about
Hillary,
it.
You know, when she, one of the things that they were riding her through town on a post about was the fact that she got a murderer or like a pedophile off.
Ooh, Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton.
Okay. Yeah.
Did I just say Hillary? Like I knew
Yeah,
it?
I was like, wow, I didn't. You guys were on a first name basis.
Yeah, me and Hill.
Yeah.
So,
do you want to shoot her a text right now?
She got a pedophile or murderer off as a DA.
Uh-huh.
And then they had a picture or a video of her laughing in the courtroom. People were like, oh, she got a pedophile off and she's laughing about it in the courtroom. And I remember all these people like took to arms about that. That's so crazy. And then you hang out with lawyers and you're in court. You're like, oh yeah, it doesn't matter. It's all like, because they don't have an emotional connection to what's going on.
Eventually they're allowed to laugh too.
Yeah. Yeah. People get off pedophiles' murders every single day and they laugh in the courtroom.
Well, probably because they feel really bad about it. They're trying to make light of it.
Of course. Mm. But I was the same. I was like, how dare you laugh? This is my home.
That's hilarious.
And then I realized that they're all evil.
So, I'm gonna let you not talk about it anymore because you're not getting in trouble.
Yes.
I did time code too in case.
No, it's fine.
We're good. We're safe. All right. Well, Bill, who I've already mentioned is a comedian. We've been on the road together more than one. Or no, did we just do Reno's all?
Was it just that one time?
But Reno feels like you were on the road for a month with someone.
Yes,
you were really
sure
in the trenches
is,
in that
sure
town.
It sure as hell does.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you have like a totally, like, besides just comedy, you have a very successful acting career. I just want you to talk about your journey a little bit.
My journey. Let's smoke a cigarette.
Yes. Broadway.
I was a go-go dancer.
I like that story. Okay, go ahead.
I went to NYU for graduate school of acting. That's hilarious, by the way. Like graduate school in acting. Oh, I'm a graduate.
I went to graduate school for screenwriting.
Yes. Well, at least that's something.
Not really.
No. Because I feel like, oh, I'm a graduate acting. I'm in the graduate acting program. Oh, I'm a master's. That's
also, mine wasn't like the MA program or BA, whatever. It was at UCLA. It was a graduate program. But to make myself sound cooler, I just tell people it was graduate school.
Graduate school.
Because you did technically have to have an undergrad degree to go to it.
That's like you say you go to university, but you're really out of college.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so I when I was in graduate school at NYU, I started go-go dancing to pay some bills, and it was great. It was one of the best jobs to this day. It's one of the best jobs I've ever had being a go-go dancer.
I think that sounds more fun than what I've done sometimes. I've had clean toilets before for Airbnb.
No, it's fun because you go up there and you're wearing, you know, you're lightly oiled.
Staying in shape.
It's
a win-win.
I don't know what the fuck happened. Look at my belly. It was so like I had
You're
a six pack. I never did a sit up in my life, and I was just like, yeah, man, this is just my body, my genetics. Now it's all gone to crap.
My genetics.
It's just my genetics. I'll be like this forever. And I'm like, oh my god, I ate a bite of ice cream, and you hear it like Jabba the Hutt. Anyway, so yeah, I was a go-go dancer.
That makes me feel really bad about myself because I'm, let's just call it 10 years younger than you. I'm not trying to out you. You're a guy. Who cares?
Yeah, let's say.
And I already feel like an old person. I eat ice cream and I'm like, Well, I feel sick right now. I feel like I'm 90.
You look like you're 16.
I appreciate that. Thank you. It's because I'm not really wearing a lot of makeup right now.
Yeah. No, but you are someone who looks exceptionally young.
Appreciate that.
For those viewers who've never seen her in person. Well, she looks even younger.
Well, listen, I guess I got what I needed today. Thank you for coming over to my podcast. My self-esteem is much higher. All right. So you're go-go dancing for money.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Because you're poor.
So then I got out of school and like I had my first gig was like a Broadway show and my second gig was this big.
Were you singing?
Like, this is easy. No, I was just an actor.
Okay.
I was just emoting. So I was like, this is easy. Like, you know, my first TV audition I booked, I'm like, oh, of course, acting. And then I did like these breakdancing commercials in Spain, $20,000-$30,000 buyout a commercial. I'm like, oh.
I'm sorry, can you breakdance?
I used to be a breakdancer.
Oh.
Breakdancing.
That was popular in the 80s.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, come on now. Don't date me. I was a retro breakdancer, maybe. No. Yeah, I was definitely in it. Anyway. So I was like, this is really, really freaking easy. And of course, and that's how I ended up getting my apartment early on, is because I had this breakdancing Spanish money. And then,
to be very proud of. But then, I didn't start making money in the entertainment industry until maybe the last year.
But it's been slow.
I've lived in LA for 11 years.
Yes.
And I just started making money.
Well, that's good, because I've just stopped making money. So we've inverted our positions.
That's not true.
No, it's really... Now, every time I see my parents live down in Orange County now. They moved from Virginia down to Orange County. And every time I see...
Wait,
I swear
Orange
to
County,
God,
Virginia?
No, Orange County, Huntington Beach. They're in Huntington Beach. Every single time I see them, they talk about how they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Always like, well, you know, we might drop. That's number one. And number two is like, they tell me I got to get a real job. And they talk about how I got to get like.
You're like, mom and dad.
I'm like, it's too late for me.
It's too late.
Yeah. That ship has sailed.
Thank God my parents don't do that anymore. But I still get, they're very confused by what I do still a little bit.
Yeah.
But for my listeners, a lot of comedians can attest to this. I mean, I heard that Johnny Carson's dad, up until even when Johnny Carson was Johnny Carson on TV, his dad would be like, well, that's really great, but when are you getting a real job? It's like, dad, but I'm making money, obviously. Yeah, yeah. What? Like, I feel like people's parents cannot, they don't understand the entertainment industry. It's like, okay, cool, but we're, like, my parents, they don't say they're proud of me now, they let me do it and whatever, and I just decided to do it anyways. They wouldn't have been able to stop me. But they still ask me questions like, so where are you getting your insurance from?
Yes.
I was like, well, actually, technically, you're still paying for that. But
yeah.
But they just can't. They don't understand.
And the jobs that they come up with me to do, they just like invent these. Like, why don't you just...
Like, you know, give me one, because my parents do that too.
I'm trying to think of something, but they were just saying something like
something you would need it. Okay, when I was in high school,
Uber driver. They always tell me you should drive an Uber.
Yeah.
You know, you should be an Uber driver.
You're like, okay.
And they're like, mom, it doesn't really pay. Well, maybe Lyft. Like, they just don't like. I'm like, no. Those are my only two options. I've spent my whole life being an actor or a writer or a comic. Like, there's other avenues.
You can't go back now, mom and dad.
Yeah, she said some ridiculous things. Like,
my mom said something before, like, you should go, like, just be... Because I remember in high school, I think what I lied to them and said I wanted to do is be a civil rights attorney. It was just my thing that I said. Because I used to make up lies. Like, I really was like, I want to move to LA and be an actor. But I would be like, no, but civil rights attorney, that seems awesome. And so my mom and dad, like, later in life, not my dad, maybe just my mom, she would just, like, let's call it year five living in LA, and I would be struggling with money. She'd be like, you should just be a lawyer.
Oh, I'm like, God, yes.
You realize that takes more money and school, and I'm not sure I can just start over now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, my mom, during this whole lawsuit with my apartment, my parents were like, well, after that, have you thought about going into law school? I was like, is that what you think? That's what the message gleaned from this, is I should go to law school after the worst time of my life of 2 years? Okay.
It's so funny.
You'd be a great lawyer, Bill.
At least they're being supportive of us.
Kind of. I guess so. But I cannot talk to them without them talking about their death.
Yeah.
And my employment. That's it. My employment, and then my dad will talk about Fox News.
God, I really hope that my parents don't start talking about their death. That'd be too much for me.
Oh, God.
I'd be like, you're bugging me now. What they do to me, though, I've had, like, alcohol shtick has been one of my shticks for a very long time, right? Like, oh, I drink so much.
Yeah.
And granted, I should have come up with a better bit. It's not that funny. I could have done better. But it is essentially a joke. Like, yes, I drink... Like, you know, some people, like, but the way my parents take it
yes.
is, our daughter is a raging alcoholic.
Oh my God, yes.
And so it's really been mostly this last year that I put everything on Instagram story and so do my friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. And my friends like Stassi have like millions of followers. Like she's videotaped me before like passed out, but not I'm not drunk. I had fallen asleep because I'd been traveling for 10 days straight. And I'm just literally in the back of a car while we're driving to the airport. And she just thinks it's funny. Now, most people don't get, millions of people don't see their videos and then also their whatever.
Yeah.
And so for the last year, I get maybe like a weekly phone call from my parents being like, I'm really worried about your drinking rate. Oh, I'm like, I don't drink as much as you think I do.
Oh,
it's
my
just
God.
The, it's all you're seeing on.
Yes. I can't even imagine my parents watch my video. I mean, I have a joke about getting blown in an alley by a tranny, which was not a joke, but I have like,
hey, living your life. Guys, you know, I'm super into us being our best selves, getting healthier, learning more, just being better humans. And Audible is helping us out with that. Audiobooks are great for helping you be a better you. Whether you want to feel healthier, get motivated, or learn something new, you can try books like, I'm very into Whitney Cummings' new book. It's called I'm Fine and Other Lies. She really gets into just being a comedian, her codependency issues. She's smart. She's brilliant. I really am super into that book right now. But they have other books too. Like if you're, you know, the fiscal you, let's say you want to be better about finances. Here's a good one. You're a Badass at Making Money. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Okay, here's a healthy one. The Sleep Revolution, The Power of Habit, The Obesity Code, The Successful You, The 4-Hour Work Week, Grit, How to Be a Boss. That was spelled weird. Boss spelled like B-A-W-S-E. All right. Audible helps you listen to more books by letting you switch seamlessly between devices, picking up exactly where you left off. Whether it's on your phone, through your car, from a tablet, at home, on the Amazon Echo, you can get through tons of books, hands and eyes free, while doing almost anything. Audible members get a credit every month, good for any audiobook in their store. Regardless of price and unused credits, they roll over to the next month. You didn't like your audiobook? You can exchange it. No questions asked. That's a pretty good deal. Plus, your books are yours to keep. With Audible, you can go back and re-listen anytime, even if you cancel your membership. So, I got an offer, guys. Start a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free. Go to audible.com/behere or text Be Here to 500-500. You can do it with audiobooks. Again, go to audible.com/behere to start a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free. Guess who's been working like crazy, but also is very well rested? Well, that's me. Do you want to know why? Because I have a Nectar Sleep mattress. It is the best night's sleep I really have ever had. Let me just tell you about it. Get the bed mattresses dream about. America's most comfortable mattress for a cloud-like experience. At Nectar, they believe in love at first night. However, for the cynics out there, they will give you 365 nights to discover that happily ever after feeling. If you are 100% happy and riding into the sunset, they will pick up the mattress for free and you will get a full refund. That's an incredible offer. The Nectar Sleep mattress is 11 inches deep. So yes, bigger is better. And it utilizes a unique 5-layer technology that no other mattress on the market has. Nectar promises a forever warranty on your mattress as well. So you know what? You want to wake up pain-free? Their memory foam will conform to your body's contours and give you a pressure point relief sleep. And I have an offer for my listeners. If you buy now, you will get $125 off and 2 free premium pillows with any mattress order and free delivery. If you go to nectarsleep.com/behere, that's nectarsleep.com/behere for $125 off and 2 premium pillows with any mattress order and free delivery. And you're going to get the best sleep of your life. And you know what? That's all I have to say because I feel really well rested and very happy this morning. So you made a bunch of money in breakdancing videos, Broadway, but you know, but you did book a bunch of acting roles. You were in Sex and the City.
You're downplaying
your success.
I mean, I was really like when I got out of graduate. I don't know why it's so pretty. When I got out of graduate, I was like, one day I'll be on a playbill. Like that was basically the ceiling of my ambition. Like my name will be in a playbill, and one day I'll be on Law and Order, and it'll be a credit on the playbill. And that was like, oh my God! Like the thought of that was like that was the ceiling.
Yeah.
And then you get on a playbill within a year, and you're in Law and Order. And with a few years, you're like, okay, wait, this is like I shot very very low.
Yeah, now you're just getting greedy.
This, yeah, that's definitely by no means making it. That's just like getting a little bit of insurance and getting the union. So then like I've definitely done some stuff, but it's sort of like unless you're on a like there's a time where I was on a soap opera for a long time, mm-hmm. and that was I was recurring in every.
So you've had like a lot of jobs.
Yeah, because I'm fucking old. Yeah. So there was a time when you'd have like 6 or 7 episodes a year,
mm-hmm.
and that's like legitimate
because
you get like decent money for that.
Yeah.
And then that goes away. You're like, oh crap, when you don't have a recurring or like mm-hmm. a series record or a play that takes up 3 months, like, and you just do like say 2 guest stars a year.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're working like 6 days out of the year. And people go, oh, wow, you're really working because you did 2 guest stars this year.
I have a question, considering I've never booked a guest star. What does that pay? Can you live off of 2 guest stars in a year?
The first Law & Order I booked, which was in the late 1800s, it was they had a different structure for residuals. So uh-huh. the first, it was like you'd get like, it was like $7,500 for the week,
uh-huh.
which was scale at the time. Now it's more. And then you get paid $7,500 next cycle. And then it was like half that. And then that same amount. And then it would trickle down.
That's great.
So you could make like $30,000 with 1 guest star. Gross.
God, I got to book one of
those. Now they've changed it because of Netflix and mm-hmm. internet. The residual is not nearly what it used to be.
Oh, it's not as good now.
Not nearly as good. It's probably like you make about half in residuals, even maybe less than you used to. Yeah, so it's still good. Like, if I book, NCIS or whatever, it'll be like $8,200 for the week, and then you get.
That's like a lot of money for 1 week of work.
Yeah, but then you bring after agent and manager.
Oh,
you know, and you bring home half.
Good point. That's why I'm so cheap. That, for example, with my podcast network, I should have hired a lawyer. What I didn't do is not hire one, and I read the contract myself and just tried to be my own lawyer. I don't think I'm as good at being a lawyer as lawyers are.
No. But who knows? That lawyer could have screwed you over in other ways, you know, and taken more of your money.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is what happened to you. Anyways, am I getting in trouble for that?
We're good.
What was I going to say? So you also just produced a movie on your own.
I did not know. I didn't produce.
Essentially.
So what happened with this was, I'll tell you this. I don't know if we ever talked about the origin story of this movie. So it's a movie called Before the Sun Explodes. It's on Amazon. It's free on Amazon Prime, guys.
It was actually it was actually really, really good. So the first time he podcasted with me before I accidentally deleted it, it was about the movie. Like, we were trying to podcast about the movie. So yes. I watched the movie right before we podcasted. And I was like, well, that was actually fantastic.
It's interesting because I went in, this woman, Deborah Eisenstadt and Zeke Farrow, who are writers and producers, they had stuff that was like in the studio system was being delayed and held up. And so I said, let's just do this short little thing that we can shoot at my house in your apartment. We'll do mm-hmm. it real quick. And so they had a reading. And I've done so many readings of films and plays. I'm usually like, this shit's not going anywhere. Like, I don't prepare for a reading. I don't show up and like, let me do my vocal warm-ups. I just kind of like show up and like read the script.
Yeah.
Because it's been years of film scripts that never go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I go to the reading, I read the breakdown. I was like, Ken Cooper, like approaching 40 or 40. He's with a rich woman, unhappy. His career is kind of stalled. He hasn't really broken through. He's a comic and he's going through a little bit of depression. I was like, that sounds kind of fucking.
You're like, is this about
I think I could do this. So, but I do the reading and I was fine. I didn't really, was kind of, put my back into it. And then a week later, Zeke goes, okay, Bill, we're going to do a reading again. And like, I wrote this fucking part for you. This part is based
I don't
on you.
I don't know if it's a compliment or if it's
insulting. And I was like, oh. And he goes, yeah, so next reading, you got to go up there and be the best you that you can be because you weren't the you that you could have been last time. I was like,
you were like, maybe you should have told me this was about me.
Yeah.
And thank
yeah.
you for, are you my parents? Thank you for essentially like letting me know what you think of me.
Yes, exactly. So I go and I read it and I'm the best me ever. And so then they booked me, but they had no idea what the comedy world was about or anything mm-hmm. involving comedy. They both actually, I think they actively hated stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Zeke Farrow did a film afterwards where there's lines.
Is
like,
he the writer of this?
He's a co-writer of it, yeah. Okay. I was a co-writer too, but he had a line in his following film where he goes, oh, I do something worse than, oh, a friend dragged me to the Laugh Factory. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, so that's like his mind about it. So And I was like, oh, it's about a comic who's like struggling. He's a good comic, but he hasn't broken through. And I wanted to be all about a struggle that I could relate to, maybe you could relate to.
Yeah.
But they wanted it to be about an unfunny comic. So the problem is they didn't have any comedy. So they were writing their own comedy material. And you know this. You can't write stand-up comedy if you're not a stand-up comic.
No. And it also usually does not translate well in a movie or TV.
At all. So they were like, you got to write the stand-up comedy for the film. So I'm going like, okay, I'm going to use my actual stuff. So I performed the Laugh Factory and I used my actual jokes that kill sometimes.
I was in Reno with you for a week. Your jokes do very well.
Yeah. I know
your set. It does very well.
But they told these people, like, no one laugh. So I'm up there, even though it's part of the movie, and you're telling these jokes, and they don't. Like, one of the jokes is like, hey, you know, I'm getting that age where, like, I should get married. That's a question of my life. Do I stay single or get married? Single, married, either I sign up for a lonely existence, jerking off to porn for the rest of my life, or I stay single. So it's just a simple little reversal like that that would work. And I do it in the movie, and it bombs. And every other joke I do bombs.
They told the audience not to laugh. So the audience was cast, essentially.
Yes, they were extras.
And they walked up to every audience member and said, don't laugh.
Well, they did it like the AD is like, okay, guys, remember, don't laugh.
And did you hear them say that to the audience?
Oh, yeah. No, I knew that was part of the show they wanted to do. That was a scene that Mark Serotella was in where he was like the producer for whatever, TV or something. And they said, don't laugh. And even though you know it's part of the script and you know they're not supposed to laugh, you're still like, oh.
Yeah, it's painful.
It's so painful.
I may have gone home and started crying afterwards.
So I was so upset. And then like J. Chris Newberg was like sort of doing like kind of audience warm up in between my takes. And he's funny.
Yeah.
So he's murdering.
Yeah.
Because they're like laughing and then like, okay, Bill's up, don't laugh.
Shit.
It was the most.
I don't know if my self-esteem could handle that.
Yeah, and I'm like, this joke is a good joke. This is a good joke. Right, well, this is a funny joke. And then all the reviews, it got really good reviews. We haven't had one bad review.
Yeah.
We haven't had a lot of reviews, but not one.
It's a very good movie.
Some people, but like reviewers, critics like it. But they all say, Bill Dawes, who plays unfunny comic Ken Cooper. And that was a big bone of contention with the other writers because I was like, Ken can be funny. He's funny. He just hasn't made it yet. Don't make him not funny because I was way too close to it. I couldn't accept the fact that like.
I just want my listeners to know. I literally feel like crawling under the couch out of embarrassment for him because you are so funny. I can't even imagine what that would have felt like.
Oh my God. It was so. I mean, if you watch that scene again where I'm at the Laugh Factory performing, just watch that first part again and just know that like I'm dying inside.
Yeah. Because for, again, to talk to my listeners, 30 seconds of silence on stage can feel like 10 hours of torture. You're just kind of like, no one's laughing. Everyone hates me. They knew I was fat when I was a kid. They know do my parents not like me? Do you guys not like me? What's wrong?
Oh, yeah.
It's your brain starts to think those things.
And then you start talking fast.
Yeah.
You fuck up your jokes.
Yeah. It's the worst feeling.
Oh my God, yeah. So that was like the whole, and then the other in the movie, not to be a spoiler, but in the pitch meeting in the movie, again, I'm doing some of my favorite jokes.
Oh, that
in a room where I'm pitching to these women.
That was the most uncomfortable thing. Yes,
it is very now. So
because you're talking super, it's the thing that's essentially an audition. You go to like a house.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be like. They wanted a loser, and I wanted to be me, but apparently me is loser, so I didn't really get that. So they were like I wanted to be in a comedy where it's like a funny comic who's struggling with his wife and might hook up with this girl, and they were like, it's a fucking loser who's past his prime, who's dying on the inside, and like it's just doing everything to stave off suicide. Go.
I feel so bad laughing at your pain, but I so get it. That's so sad.
And I remember when I was in the post process, I was like, no, man, what the fuck? This isn't. He's like, do you know what type of movie you're in? You think you're in a different movie, Bill. This is not a movie about Bill being cool.
He's like, Bill's not cool. You're right. Like, let me just.
I know I'm a dork in it. I know I'm kind of like, you know, a little bit of a sad sack, but like, not that. Is it that sad? So, Mark,
listen, Sarah, I get these. I'm just trying to make you feel better.
Yeah.
I live my life on Instagram story just because I think it's so funny. I think I'm so funny. And like, I love like filming, like, and people will give me, it's like when people give you like backhanded compliments, they're like, I'm trying to think of one that I get a lot. It's like you're sure pretty, but you're so weird that it doesn't, like, you're still fun. Like, I can't even think of what the comments are, but it's just kind of like, and I'm like, all right, well, you could have just said it was funny. You didn't have to be like,
yeah.
But something along the lines of like, you're so weird that I actually think you're funny, even though you're, it's kind of like, I don't notice that you're pretty because you are so weird. I'm like, well, you could have just said either you're pretty or you found it funny. You didn't need to tell me I was weird.
Yeah. I love it when people are like, oh, Bill Dawes is so good. I wonder why he hasn't broken through yet. Like, I just don't, you know what? I don't know. My favorite too is when you do a show, like you do a set, you have a great set. People, wow, that was really good. You should do movies. I'm like, oh yeah, let me just call up 20th Century Fox. Like, yo, man, hook me up with some. Yeah. Like, I'm actively not trying to be in movies. You should have a TV series. Oh yeah, you think?
Thanks.
You know, it never struck my mind that I should have a TV series. Yeah. But yeah, there we go.
That's my favorite. I love when it's essentially the same thing. But I think someone said to me the other day, like, God, you'd be so good in like commercials. I was like, what's interesting is I've been auditioning for commercials every single week for 11 years. Haven't booked one, but great advice.
By the way, great that point. To me is a little, well, I guess they have such archetypes. It's sort of like you can't play the college girl.
Well, here's,
and you're not really a mom.
Well, let me give the example. I am short, but I guess I am attractive enough to, let's say, go out for a Carl's Jr. commercial.
Yeah.
So I would go out. I went out for one of those ones where you're supposed to seductively eat a sandwich or cheeseburger or whatever. Well, in the audition, they had a huge box of actual cheeseburgers there. I'm such a fucking fat ass. I actually forgot to be sexy and was just really enjoying eating the cheeseburger. And I was so weird. And I was like, all right, I gotta go now. Like, if they were like, just be sexy.
She ate all our cheeseburgers.
They were like, just be sexy. If it like drops on you, just like pick it up. I dropped a piece of it on the ground.
And then you picked up and ate it?
Picked it up and ate it.
I love that.
I don't know why I didn't book it. It's weird.
Commercials. Painful. I used to go on, I don't go on commercials anymore. I mean, nobody is knocking on my door. Let's get that straight. But like, I can't, like being in that room and everyone talking about their barbecue grill and how many kids they have now and where their kids in school, because they all know each other in this little world. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'd rather fucking be an insurance salesman in Topeka.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Anyways, so wait, say the name of the movie again, just so I want.
It's called Before the Sun Explodes. And to the credit of Deborah Eisenstadt, who directed it, she did create a very consistently toned movie that has this sort of sense of, like, kind of claustrophobia and foreboding. It's not an action, it's not a thriller by any means, but it has like a sense of like doom, impending doom the whole time.
It does, and it, God, it's kind of like, how would I describe it? It's almost like, what are the movies? There's the Stalker Girl, what is that? Like, what's the bunny boiler? What's that? It has like a
Fatal Attraction.
It has kind of that vibe too, but it is funny. It's just a really well done movie. It's funny, but it also makes you highly uncomfortable.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a Ricky Gervais series without the comedy in a way. Like equally uncomfortable to like a Ricky Gervais like extras, but nothing's really out loud funny.
But I kind of like that. What's the movie that just won? Come on, Key and Peele, like Peele, Jordan Peele.
Oh, Get Out. Yeah.
Yeah. That movie is funny.
Yeah.
But scary and also highly uncomfortable.
Yes.
And so smart.
Yes.
I mean, your movie Before the Sun Explodes is similar to that to me.
Yeah, I hope some of your viewers watch it. I do think that people have watched it and they have been affected. They're like, oh, it really fucked me up. And there's some people like, that was boring. But most people are like, it had an effect on them as something. And I definitely think
you have to watch it not distracted. You have to
you have to zone in.
Something you really have
you
to
can't
watch.
Be on your phone because then you're like, where the fuck's, oh, I don't care about this person. I find that to be generally the case with like binge watching. Every series I go, and then like, ding, I get a message. And then like, I'm like 10 minutes later, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I can't watch anything anymore.
I'm so sick of my phone. I'm sick of the distract. Like, I like to make like Instagram stories just because that's about me. But I just wish people'd stop texting me. I wish that people'd stop.
Oh, cute girl problems.
Yeah.
So many guys hitting me up.
It's not even that. It's more just like friends, people, plans, things. I can't remember anything. Like, do I put it in my calendar? Like, I don't even know.
Well, the worst part for me is like, I don't read a book like with pages and shit and like a hard part and a soft part, you know, like a book thing. Like, I don't, like, if I'm in bed, I'm like, I need like a TV. Like I've literally been in my bed with my phone, laptop open, and the TV on, and I'm kind of like doing. And
it's
I'm
depressing.
Like, why do I have insomnia?
Yeah. What is the problem here? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to put my phone. I've started doing this where, because I've heard that just even the energy of it being close to you can like ruin your sleep.
Yeah.
And I am paranoid if I like put it in a different room, like someone's going to die in the middle of the night. I'm going to miss the phone call because it has happened before. And
yikes.
No, I mean, it didn't. I mean, I knew my grandma was dying, but at 2:15 a.m. I got a text from my dad. I was like, all right, well, I guess I didn't need
you
to
get
see
it because you didn't really get them because you were too drunk, right? Is that
no,
how that works?
I keep my phone on silent.
That was a callback, by the way.
Thank
Did you.
You
get that?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for acting like my parents. No, I was just tired. Anyways, but sometimes I will put my phone in a different room just so I can sleep.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. You're supposed to do that.
And I have no TV in my bedroom.
That's great.
But I don't watch TV anyways.
Yeah, no, it's good. You should. Apparently, it kills your sex life if you have a TV in your bedroom.
Can we talk about something?
Yes,
no, you don't want to talk about it on here.
No, talk about it, please.
You made a joke earlier before on the podcast, and I can edit this out.
Yes, I have a big penis, but what does that have to do with anything?
No, but you said your sex drive goes down as a guy as you get older. I am very curious about this, because considering I am dating someone older than me, maybe you can impart some wisdom. Does it really?
Well, I mean, of course it does, number one. I don't necessarily think it's a bad
thing. But
like,
they said that women...
when you're in high school, like, you can go... Like, when you're, like, 18, 19, you can go... I mean, I have that joke about reload.
Yeah.
Like you could go, I could go, like, 4 or 5 times was just the norm on a night, you know? And then that existed kind of through college. And then you get out of college, and then you get, like, a hat trick every once in a while. And then maybe you get, like, a 2 off. And then it's just like, well, I got one in me.
Uh-huh.
And once in a blue moon, like, I might be inspired by I Ate the Right... cereal or something, some bell peppers, and I might like do like a double.
This is
but there's no more. There's no more quads happening, and like I mean, I think it happens after, you know, like in your 30s. I don't know if it's emotional because you just feel like life is beating you down and you don't want to have sex.
Yeah, I think that I've heard this amongst many guys like that are around 40. That I think it is probably a good thing. It's like, at least you're not just fucking spreading your seed everywhere.
Yes, yes. But luckily now, there's so much stuff to keep your, even if your brain is kind of like, meh, so much stuff to keep your dick away. There's
Listen, I just put some B12 down your throat earlier. That can be helpful.
I know, I feel a little horny. But you, you go to 7-Eleven, they have like the little rhino things and whatever, like some crazy, it's basically you go to these Chinese labs and they cut off like Cialis and they put it in like some bullshit and they charge like $12, you're getting actual Cialis, so it actually works.
All right,
it's illegal, but
There's have you been to Moon Juice yet?
No, what is that?
It's okay. So we
is this going to help with my boners?
Yeah. So okay. Bill and I ran into each other at Earth Bar the other day because even though I am not even close to 40, I just feel like shit all the time. So apparently now I'm like one of these people that goes to Earth Bar, and so I've run into, you don't drink very much, but I've run into, like, in general, I know that. But I've run into like sober comedians there.
Everyone AA goes.
Yeah, I was like, is this who I am now? I thought I was cool. Like, this is.
Yeah.
God. Anyways, so Moon Juice is this place. It's on like Melrose Place in La Cienega. They sell these powders. There's one called Beauty Dust. There's one called Sex Dust. There's one called Dream Dust. And it's all these like natural things that either probably help your sex drive or help you look prettier. Beauty Dust help you sleep.
Yeah.
So get involved with that.
Moon Juice. I'm gonna go after this podcast.
Listen, I bought some sex dust. I bought some beauty. I'll buy anything they're selling me just because I want to be happy.
Same way. Like, I'm the exact same way.
Just, I'll waste my money there.
Wait, this water is more watery than other water? Is it pH balance of 14? Whoa.
I guess it's better than me like wasting money on like happy hour like I used to waste it on.
That's true. That's true. You're gonna waste on something, so might as well be that. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna put a little concoction together for you before you leave.
Oh, nice! Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've been like a drug pusher lately. Like, to my parents, so my parents like to think that I'm an alcoholic or I take Adderall or something, and I don't even want to take Adderall anymore. I don't even like it. So I got really into like taking B12, and I went to go visit them, and because my dad's sick and always in pain, I like brought him B12 and I brought him this like CBD oil that I also bought from the goddamn grocery store.
That's the new thing.
Yeah, it's not a drug.
No.
But they were acting like I was like giving them drugs.
100%. Exact same thing. I got my parents some weed, which is legal now.
Yeah.
And I gave them weed in like, you know, the, like in the thing. And my mom is like, you're such a mix. She's like, oh, let's do it. And my dad's like, oh, he's like Mr. Boring and Christian Fox News. He's like, oh, he's like looking at like, oh, my God, Reefer Madness. What's happening?
That's how they were acting. I was like, you act like I'm trying to give you drugs. Like, my mom was like, oh, I can't do B12. I'll be up all night. I was like, it's not crack.
But meanwhile, my parents take Percocet and morphium and all. Morphium. What the fuck is that? The character in The Matrix? Morphine. they take like Tic Tacs. It's just like, oh, here, the doctor said I can take 14
That's
Percocet.
That's terrible for you. Yeah, my dad will take, because he's always in pain, before he goes golfing. I watched him pop like 6 Advil. I was like, do you realize that's eating your stomach lining?
Yes.
Let me just put some CBD oil on your pain, your back where
that's
it hurts.
New age hippie stuff.
Yeah. Both my parents were like, whoa, I don't know if I could do this.
Yeah. I have been doing CBD oil. It gives you crazy dreams.
Yeah, it's awesome.
People. You should get a CBD oil sponsorship for this podcast. That's my decision.
My mom was saying that the other day, because now she's... After much convincing and after much of her sending me articles about like, but am I going to get pulled over and it's going to be in my system?
Oh, God.
I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to kill myself. She's now on board. And she actually said the same thing. She's like, you should get them to sponsor you. I'm like,
yeah. I mean, it's like the latest thing because everyone's kind of like off the weed thing and they're all trying to get into the CBD thing. So I think that's a great idea. I have some fucked up dreams.
Yeah. They're lucid dreams, though. Like,
yes.
Where I remember them, but they're, yeah.
But none of my dreams are good.
Oh.
They're always about failure. So I don't know what that means.
Jesus, I had one where I was laughing the other day. I woke up laughing. I was pretty happy.
I need your CBD oil. I'm getting the wrong brand, apparently.
Well, yeah. I eat the chocolates. I get them from Earth Bar.
Oh, that's right.
Those are delicious.
Oil. Yeah, I want to get that thing in Earth Bar, the CBD oil. They have like, and it's $14 for like water.
Oh, CBD I have it water. As like this oil, like this. I'll show you when we're done. Let's see. We're wrapping up soon.
We're wrapping up. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I gotta go. I have an obligation at 7 p.m.
So did we want to talk about more about the movie Before the Sun Explodes?
Yes, let's do that. Let's just promote more. And
it's short.
Yeah.
There you go. It's only 80 minutes, like 81 minutes.
It's very good.
People like it more than I expected. And from it, I mean, my career, I've gotten zero jobs from it. But it's
That's
still,
how everything goes.
It's nice that you get a review every once in a while from some woman in Duluth who's like, this movie was interesting.
You guys, please review it. It's kind of like, it's helpful, just like it's helpful when you review my podcast and rate it 5 stars. Hear that plug? It's helpful to, if you like it, say something nice about it.
Because they have these crazy algorithms written by a bunch of nerds that like make it link to other movies that are similar, and they don't get those links unless you rate and review it.
Yeah, please do it. So tell them how they can do that.
So you go to, you have to have Amazon. Okay. Does anyone have Amazon or everyone just
have
Netflix?
It. Everyone has Amazon.
Okay, and if you're on Prime, it's free.
Yeah.
And then you watch it, or just watch 10 minutes of it, just hook me up with a good review.
All right, that's fair.
Or just write it, so you can write a review. It's right there. There's an app for it.
Say your social media handles too, and where they can find your stand-up dates.
Okay, so it's at Bill Dawes, Dawes. And I'm a reg at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood in Long Beach. So I'm there usually 3 or 4 times a week. But I'm going to be in New York, so I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to be.
We got to link up when I'm there. We'll talk about this afterwards. I'll give my dates too. I will be. Actually, I'm just going to say them at the beginning of the podcast. Really force it down your guys' throat. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.